With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Their play-by-play man is Mark Boyle. He's one of the best in the NBA, and he joins us right now. Hey, Mark, how you doing?
I'm well.
Good morning.
We appreciate you being back with us. It's been a while, and I'm glad for your sake that you're able to be with us right now, because it means the Pacers did something that a lot of folks thought they had no chance of doing after the Paul George deal, and that was not only make the playoffs, but make it as a fifth seed, 48 wins. Mark, what happened? How did this team, under Nate McMillan, become the team that it's become this year?
Well, a number of things. They had a bunch of new guys, and they coalesced very well and played together really effectively right from the beginning. Sometimes that takes a long time, and sometimes it doesn't happen at all. And then the two guys they got in the George trade, Victor Oladipo and Domantas Sabonis, both turned out to be really good additions, particularly Oladipo, who I think it's fair to say turned out to be much better than anyone had anticipated he would be. Sabonis is still young and getting better and has been an influential player off the bench. And they've just gotten gradually better in a variety of areas as the season has gone along. So they're, I would say, objectively speaking, on the fringe of being a good team. Right now they're really competitive. And although the primary focus right now is this playoff series, looking ahead for them to the summer, most of their key guys are younger, presumably getting better. They've got a bunch of money to use with the salary cap this summer. So things are really pretty exciting around here.
Hey, Mark, you talked about Oladipo, and I know you guys probably had, I mean, clearly you watched him in college. Do you think he's grown from college to where he is now, or from when he was with the Magic to where he is now?
I can't address the college part. I don't watch college ball.
Okay.
But I have seen him play his entire NBA career, and he's gotten, I think it's fair to say, a little bit better each season. And now in his fifth year, when he's had a chance to be with a team where he's been expected to provide much more substance than he has earlier in his career. Remember, he was a young player on some bad teams in Orlando, probably too young and inexperienced to assert himself. And then last year he was playing with Russell Westbrook, and nobody can assert themselves in that situation. He was ready to take control when he got here, and Nate McMillan made it clear that the Pacers needed him to do that, and he has really responded. So the answer, at least from my perspective of that question, is that he is immeasurably better now than he was when he came into the league, and even a lot better now than he was last year, when people, I think, tend to forget that even playing with Westbrook, who's so ball dominant, he still averaged 17.5 points a game.
Mark Boyle joining us. He's the radio play-by-play voice of the Indiana Pacers. Along with Oladipo stepping up and becoming a big-time guy, I think Darren Collison is one of the underrated guys in the league, Mark, and his presence on the team has been a huge help. Corey Joseph has stepped in and played well, and it seems like it's been a group effort. What, six Pacers averaging in double figures during the regular season?
Yeah, all very valid. And Collison's had by far the best year of his career. He came really close to achieving something that's very rarely done, and that's the 50-40-90 club, 50% from the floor, 40 from three, and 90 from the line. You know, very close to getting there. Led the league in assist-to-turnover ratio. And he's been, over the years, a solid player. But I think, at least speaking for myself, I always looked at him when he got to the Pacers in years before as a really good backup point guard. And now it's turned out that he's a pretty good lead point guard, at least has been this season. So he's one of those guys you mentioned. Bojan Bogdanović has been excellent. He was an off-season addition. Thaddeus Young was here. He's been solid. Pretty much everybody that they've used, and this is ironic, everybody that they've used has either been at or beyond their previous career bests, except for the one guy that they expected to make a huge jump this season, and that's Miles Turner. And you can argue that although he's a good player, he's had a disappointing season.
Yeah, you kind of expected him to make that step this year, and I agree with you, Mark. I don't think he made it, but I think he will. I really like Miles.
They do, too. If there's one thing they've been disappointed in, it's that he hasn't developed a physical game. He's really a finesse player, and he can still be overpowered and brutalized by big, strong centers. On the other hand, he can take them out onto the floor. He had a good season shooting the three. This is, I think, one thing to watch in this playoff series, because he could be an influential player. He's got the talent, he's got the ability, and he's had some really good stretches this season, but he really struggled down the stretch over the last 8 to 10 games, played poorly, and if he can't move beyond that in the first round of these playoffs, the Pacers might have some issues.
Mark, can you give me a roadmap for the Pacers to beat the Cavs in the series?
No. I don't say it's impossible. For me, it comes down to the same thing that it always comes down to. You have James and they don't. Now, there are going to be later rounds in these playoffs where that's not going to be enough, I think, because as you well know, Cleveland is historically bad defensively, at least by the standards of playoff and championship caliber teams, and I think in the end, that will probably be the result of their demise. But in these early rounds, they still have enough, and James is just so breathtakingly good. I wouldn't say that Cleveland couldn't be beaten by Indiana. I'm just having a hard time visualizing it, as I'm sure you are too, because this guy is just too good, and it's astonishing to me the level he's playing at with his age and experience factored in, because you would expect him to have shown some sort of decline by now. Instead, it looks to me like he's better than ever.
Isn't that strange, Mark? Because human nature, NBA history, tells you a guy in his 15th season isn't supposed to come up with a season that you could argue is the best season that he's ever had. It's just strange to see.
Yeah, and you mentioned 15 seasons. You forgot to mention that he's played 217 playoff games.
Exactly.
Which is almost three more seasons worth of games that are played in a much more stressful environment than the 15 regular season games would be. So I've been in this league for 30 years, and this argument has gained a little bit of steam as the years have gone along, but I still think I'm in the minority on this. But to me, it's not even an argument. In the 30 years I've been around, LeBron James is the best player I've ever seen, and I include Michael Jordan in that. James is bigger, stronger, faster, could do all the same things. And that's not to denigrate Jordan, who's obviously spectacular. But LeBron James, to me, is just a marvel.
Mark Boyle's joining us. He's the radio play-by-play man of the Indiana Pacers. I thought the Pacers, I've always liked watching the Pacers play. I've always liked the organization, Mark. And Frank Vogel, when Frank was there, I thought Frank was a good coach. He just got let go in Orlando. Yet you're able to bring in Nate McMillan, who was on the staff with Frank. And Nate, I think, maybe the most underrated coach in the NBA. He was terrific when he was out west. He's terrific with you guys. What is it about Nate that makes him a good, not just a good coach, period, but a really good game coach?
I think he would tell you this himself. One of the things that we've noticed, or at least I have, because I've been around his entire coaching career and almost his entire playing career in the NBA, he's an old school guy, but he's grown with the position, he's learned with experience, and he's still old school. But he's modified his approach a little bit, and one of the things that I think is so difficult for a coach that he has done so well this season is managing the environment. All these guys, I would think, it's fair to say, are pretty good at coming up with X's and O's and devising out-of-bounds plays and all of the things that you think coaches should do. But managing a specific playing roster can be so difficult, and specific to the Pacers. Do you think coaching Lance Stephenson is easy?
I would guess no.
No, it isn't easy, and especially not for a guy who's old school like Nate, because Lance does some things that I'm sure, although Nate doesn't say much about it, really churn up his insides, but he has mastered figuring out that this guy might not be my cup of tea, but he does bring something we don't have. He is an asset, and on a nightly basis, and this is just one example of managing the environment, on a nightly basis, I think Nate has really been good at, to use Lance as an example, figuring out on a given night what he has to bring, how long the leash should be, when to get him out, when to tolerate his eccentricities. It's a very difficult thing, because that, to me, is a huge part of coaching. And I think the one thing I would say about Nate in the years that he's been a coach is that he's always been open to change, at least in recent years, and has really learned how to manage a team and an environment and a game. And I agree with what you say. I don't think he'll be coach of the year, and I have no problem with some of the other candidates. There are some really good ones. But I think he hasn't really received the acclaim that he should have, because I think he's done a terrific job this season.
All right, Mark, I'm going to throw you a curveball here for a second. I was just looking at your bio, and I can't.
Uh-oh.
I'm wondering what you would be doing if you weren't doing play-by-play for basketball. You've been piranha fishing, U.S. Open chess tournament. You've played in that. You've been a barista. Indiana Symphony, a pit crew member for NASCAR, and a weather guy. What would you be doing if you weren't doing basketball right now?
Nice.
Well, see, here's what you fail to mention. I have done all of those things, but the reason I've been able to do them is because I have a platform and a forum to do them, and the Pacers have been really supportive about giving me the off season to do more or less whatever I wanted to. If I didn't have that platform or forum, I will say this without blinking. I feel like I'm really good at what I do. That said, I'm a savant. I've got one skill, so if I weren't doing this, I'd be homeless.
You could go get some piranha, though. You'd have some food. There you go.
How was that? I don't know anyone that's been piranha fishing.
Well, this was a few years ago. Some friends of we decided to go and spend a week on the Amazon. So we hired a guide, and we flew to Lima, Peru, and then we got on the Amazon, and we were going to go piranha fishing. So we're out there in the boat, and the way you catch piranha, or at least the way we did, was you start with raw meat, and you put it on the hook, just like if you were fishing around here, although there aren't any piranha around here. And at first, we caught a bunch of small fish, and then our guide chopped them up, and then we used them for bait, and then we started catching piranha. And about halfway through, the guide says, we're in the Amazon. He says, you guys want to go swimming?
No,
we do not. He jumped in, so we followed. So I actually swam with the piranha also.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And by the way, if you ever get a chance, piranha is very bland, and it's really not worth it.
Did you get bit?
No. See, that's the thing. The guy jumps in the water, and then he explains to us that all of these movies we see over here in the U.S. about these giant piranha ravaging people are total nonsense. He said they are carnivores, and when we did catch them, we had to use pliers to take them off the hook because their teeth are really sharp. But he said, by and large, they don't attack people who swim. They mostly go after carcasses on the side of the river and other fish and things of that nature. So, you know, we've all seen those movies where some guy's in the water and pretty soon there's a churning.
Yeah,
and then the guy's like gone, eaten in 4 seconds. That's not quite how it happens in real life.
Well, that's good, because otherwise we'd have had to fill another segment here because you wouldn't have been available to talk to us. So there you go.
I thought when you said you were going to use, what do we use for bait? You were like, yeah, I just stuck my arm in the water.
Yeah, that'd be bad.
Yeah, that's why I only have a left arm now.
Mark, we appreciate your time today. I've enjoyed your work for years. And
thank you.
Gus, best of luck to the Pacers, because I think the Pacers are one of the under the radar stories in the NBA this season. So well done by them, and looking forward to a good series. Thank you, Mark.
Thanks, Mark.
Thank you. I think it'll be competitive, but Cleveland's going to be tough to beat with James, at least in this round.
Mark Boyle, play-by-play voice of the Indiana Pacers. Thanks, Mark. See you at the queue.
All right, guys. Thanks.
Bye, Mark.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.